Amen. So here we are, guys. We've just transitioned from 2014, a year of greater glory, into the year 2015, which I believe the Lord is saying is to be a year of great change. A year of great change. Amen. This is to be a year of great change. Hallelujah. Amen. The Hebrew year that corresponds with 2015 is the year 5775, which began in late September on Rosh Hashanah. We had a celebration here back then. Literally, Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. That's the Hebrew New Year. And apparently all Hebrew numbers also have an associated alphabet letter, and they have a pictograph drawing associated with that number also, and that letter, which have all of prophetic meanings. And so the years within the 5700s or the 5700s relate to the meaning, may it be the year of. And the last two numbers of the 5700s represent the decade and the year. So the decade of the 5770s are the Hebrew letter Ayin, which means to see. And in our calendar, 2010 to 2019 is the decade of the Ayin years. And it's about seeing visions, restoring sight, and renewing perspective. When I went in and had a look at this, I was getting blown away. Maybe, hopefully you'll get blown away before the end of it, before we're done. Amen. In these days, the Lord is giving dreams, visions, insights, revelations. He's bringing adjustment to people's mindsets. He's bringing adjustments to people's perspectives so that they line up with Him. And He wants that to happen in order that our thoughts will be aligned with His thoughts, because if our thoughts are aligned with His thoughts, then our ways will be aligned with His ways. Amen. Who knows that? That's been a major theme of everything that the Lord's been showing me and what I've been teaching here over the past few years. I'm keeping this here all year. So I want you to know, because this just tells you something. You know, over the years, I've fed hungry sheep. I want to tell you, when you go out there in the winter with a bag of feed, all these sheep are interested in this what's in your hand. And they'll knock you over to get to what's in your hand. As you're pouring that feed into the trough, they're in there, they just want to get past you and get in there and get in amongst that stuff. And I want to tell you, I'm here this morning as a shepherd. I asked you a question a couple of weeks ago, how hungry are you? How hungry are you this morning? Because I'm here this morning for hungry sheep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here, and I'll tell you, the shepherd, he's a, you know, the Lord, you know, he wants to pull you in, you know. He said, if you draw near to me, he says, I'll draw near to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Although God wants to do by bringing this word this morning is to draw you closer to Him. Because the closer you get to Him, the more of His glory you'll experience. The more of His goodness you'll experience. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all up to us. How hungry are we? How close do we want to be to Him? Because He said, you'll determine your closeness. He's not running from you. He said, you draw near to me, you'll discover I've been here all the time. Waiting for you. Amen. Some people are waiting for God, and all the time He's waiting for us. If you're waiting for God and missing Him, it's because you're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The number corresponding to this year, the number 5, this is year 5775, the number 5 is the Hebrew letter He. And the letter He means to behold or to see as through a window. He is also connected with the word breath, because the pictograph is of a man with his arms raised and praising God. Hallelujah. And the number of the letter He, the number 5, also speaks of expression and revelation. It's like God says, and because God says, I see. Who knows that much revelation comes as we worship? Amen. As we worship, as we're in that place of drawing near to Him, that's when we begin to see things that we haven't seen before. The wisdom of heaven flows to us. Things open up before us things that seemed impossible become possible. We receive faith for that which seemed impossible to be possible. Amen. Our expectation is raised. Glory to God. Well, by doing what we were singing it, all I am and all I have, all for Jesus. Hallelujah. As we meditate on God's goodness, our expectation begins to rise. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, it says. The letter He also appears twice in the covenant name of God. As I was meditating on this just the other day, I began to realize, wow, Yod He Vav He. That name that when we see it in your Bible translated L-O-R-D, capital letters, that's the covenant name of God, the name that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. Yahweh, Yod He, Vav He. Some people in English, they've made the name Jehovah. But it's that name, four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. Of course, Hebrew is read from right to left. But it carries with it the meaning of He breathes, so I breathe. Come on, think about this. It also carries with it the meaning, He sees, so I see. Because He lives, we live. We see as He sees, as He is, the Bible tells us, so are we in this world. As He is in heaven, so are we on the earth. As He is Lord in heaven, so He has given us dominion on the earth. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord with a capital L, but we are Lords with a little L. We are here to take the dominion that He created us to have in the earth. That'll restore a wow to you, if nothing else will. Our things started to become clear. I'll tell you, when Katrina and I were in Israel in early September, we were there with Dan and Dale from Wasborough, from the Tent of David in Canada. And you know, the day we arrived, I think it was about 2:30 in the morning or something, and Dan picked us up at the airport, and on the drive north, I don't know, it was an hour and a half maybe, or 2 hour drive from Tel Aviv up to the Galilee where we were going to be staying. You know, he began to share about the year 5775 and what the Lord had been showing him for the coming year. And I always look forward to hear what comes from the Tent of David for the coming year. You know, and it hasn't arrived yet. They usually send out an email at some point that they get together, they have a watch on New Year's Eve, and different people bring what God is speaking and what God has been saying. But he pointed out on that journey that 5775 is a palindrome. Who knows what a palindrome is? You know, it just means it reads the same backwards and forwards. But as he continued to share under the anointing some of the things that the Lord had been showing him, you know what happens when you're listening to preaching? You know, things start going off on the inside of you. You start hearing things over and above what the preacher is saying. That's the way it's designed to work. Amen. If you're there hungry and listening, God's going to be speaking to you over and above what's just been said. And so he starts sharing these things, and it starts to ignite the anointing in me, and I start to see and hear things myself that are related to what the Lord is saying regarding this year, 2015, 5775. And when he said palindrome, I instantly heard the word Abba, which is the name that God has given to us. The Bible says when you were born again, there was a name opened up on the inside of you. Abba. The most intimate name for your Heavenly Father. He brought you into that place, that level of intimacy. Instantly you were born again. You don't have to work your way into that kind of intimacy. You don't have to get it all right. Do all your right. Come on. Come on. Babies are born and they're a nightmare. Half of them don't even sleep. They poop everywhere. They puke everywhere. You know, come on. You're on, they're screaming all the time. Feed me, feed me, feed me. You have to carry them around, wheel them in buggies. You know, your whole life becomes, and it never ends. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. God says that's the kind of relationship I've brought you into with myself. Hallelujah. What was it for that child from you're inputting, and all you're longing for is to hear something back. Do you know what you want to hear back? Something, a wee grunt or a burp or something that sounds like dada. Or mama. You know what I mean? I mean, you're phoning up the relatives because the child burps saying, he spoke. He said mama today, you know? Get on the venue, hallelujah, send her around. Now, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like now with all these new media things they got. I mean, the air, it must be just full of new fathers and mothers just sending things all over the place. Skyping with Granny in Australia, you know what I'm saying? Oh, here we go, hallelujah. All that time you're just waiting. Do you know what your Heavenly Father's been waiting for from you? All that time He's been cleaning up your mess. You know, come on, He doesn't care that you're still messing up. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You don't understand, Lord, old chap.
That's not the way God is at all. He's an angry judge upon a throne, just waiting for you to mess up. He's got a baseball bat down the side of that throne, and his hands are itching just to get that baseball bat and whack you every time you get it wrong. You think so? Jesus said it this way. He said, if you are being evil compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, know how to mess up after your, clean up after your children mess up, know how to care for them and do all the, give them good gifts, how much more? Your Heavenly Father's been longing for you to get this revelation that He's Daddy. Longing for you to break these words of intimacy. We've been trying to get, oh, most gracious and ever blessed God, our most loving Heavenly Father, blah, blah, blah. And all He's been longing for is to hear these words. Daddy. Abba. 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 For us to recognize that He brought us the moment we were born again into that place of intimacy with Him. We have not received the Spirit. I mean, the Scripture says it, but in English it becomes even more flowery, you know. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And these are powerful words, but they can just become religious words. But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy. Daddy! As I said a couple weeks ago, we cry, Daddy, and we expect Father to show up. When Father shows up, everything's okay. I've shared it before. When I was a wee kid living in a big Church of Scotland manse in the outskirts of Glasgow, a house that had been broken into five times when nobody else's house got broken into because it was such a big, nice house. And my father, because he was a minister, he was out visiting people at night and stuff like that, out at meetings, doing stuff, and so he wasn't always at home. In the evening, didn't come home at 5 o'clock and could put his slippers on. He usually left them at 6 o'clock and didn't come back to live it. But I'll tell you, I would lie in my bed in that big house with the big trees outside, sometimes in the wind, and you could, you know, and, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, having something behind the wardrobe every night, you know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you, and I would lie in my bed and I would wait. Maybe about 10, half past 10, 11 o'clock, I would hear my father's car come up the front drive and into the garage, and I would these big rolling doors on the garage, I'd hear them go brrrr, then I'd hear psh, the door was closed, and I'd hear them come in the front door, and I would think, oh, Daddy's home, I'd go to sleep now. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father never even leaves home. He said, my presence will go with you wherever you go. I will be your daddy right there, right wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever situation you're in. Hey, guess what? Even when you're messing up, I'll be there to clean up your mess, because that's what daddies do. That's a wee crying break or something. Maybe after we get rid of some of the tears, a smile will come back or something. I don't know. Maybe we can resurrect a smile out of it. He's longing, 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 longing to hear us get rid of all of our religious garbage. Yeah. And get back to where it's meant to be. I mean, we have these religious pictures, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when you think about what's happening there, it's incredible that the sinless Son of God is getting ready to go to the cross and take the sins of the whole world upon Himself, all of the sickness, all of the judgment that sin deserved upon Himself. And at that point, He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what He's saying according to the Gospel of Mark? What he's saying, Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Daddy. I want to do what you wanted me to do, Daddy. But that's the language he's using, Daddy. Daddy. And I want to tell you, it's when he goes on the cross and all of that stuff begins to come upon him, he loses sight of Daddy. And from the cross he cries out, when you think about who's speaking, it's the most awful statement you could ever hear. He says, "My God, my God." Some of us never get past, "My God, my God." The world uses OMG, oh my God. Think they're being clever. It's just a sign of where their relationship is at with the Almighty. The one who loves them so much that he did so much for them. You know, the most awful cry that came from Jesus' lips on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? He lost sight of Daddy. I want to tell you, he did that so all of the obstacles to you knowing Daddy could be removed. So you wouldn't have to OMG anybody. You could just live in a fullness of relationship with the Almighty who sits upon the throne of heaven, who desires good things to happen in the earth. Hallelujah. And you could have that relationship with him, Daddy. You know, the most awful thing that confronted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was the fact that he would lose sight of Daddy even just for a few hours or a few days, even for a moment. I want to tell you, your whole life, even since you became a Christian, if you're born again this morning, the devil's been trying to obscure Daddy and your understanding. He's been trying to hide Daddy from you. Oh, hallelujah. But no more. I want to tell you, the biggest change that's ever going to happen in your life will begin the moment Daddy is back in place in your life. Not when you've got a greater revelation of God. Oh, he is God, don't make no mistake about it, but he's your Daddy. As soon as he started talking about the palindrome, I heard Abba. As I continued to meditate on that over the next few days, I began to see and hear that this year would be a time of renewed awe. The wow factor being restored. Who knows, wow's another palindrome. And it would all happen in the presence of Abba. The more revelation we get of Abba, the simpler it all becomes. The more simple it becomes. Not the more complicated. Not the more highfalutin. Not the more systemized.
Well, brother, do you have a systematic theology?
Absolutely. Daddy. I shared that when he first began understanding that this was a palindrome, the 5775 was a palindrome. He said the first word that came to him was level. I think he received it in a dream, and when he said that, I immediately thought plumb line. Plumb line. And then straight away he starts talking about when he heard level and he started meditating on level, the first thing that came to him was plumb line. You know, God's word speaks of a plumb line. And a plumb line is his standard. You know, the prophet Amos saw the Lord with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked him, he said, "What do you see?" What did he ask him? See, God, what's on God's heart is, more than anything, is, what do you see? What do you see? In fact, in Habakkuk it says, I will wait to see what the Lord, to see what the Lord will say to me. Because what the Lord says is what you see. you'll hear it. The Lord asked him, what do you see? When Amos replied that he saw a plumb line, the Lord said that he was setting a plumb line in the midst of his people. A plumb line is used to determine the vertical on an upright surface. In other words, it's used to check alignment. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 6 to 10, listen to what it says there. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? That's what I tell you. These are days of great change. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Remember in Chronicles it says that the eyes of the Lord scan the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. Those who have no more obstruction between them and him. Those who know that he's daddy and that he'll always be daddy. And when you call on daddy, father shows up. When father shows up, everything's okay. Everything's under control. Everything's about to get sorted. I believe that the one major thing we're going to see in 2015, 5775, is a new level of awe, of wow, in the presence of Abba. As we witness great change in the lives, in our own lives and in the lives of others. As we experience together God's grace and encounter his glory. As we shout grace, grace to everything. Yeah. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, by simply believing that God did it all. That he sorted everything. That he went to the cross and turned every single negative into a positive. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. I know religion's obscured that and done a good job of it, but that's the truth. That's the simplicity. That's the simple truth. As we are realigned with heaven, with God's word, because God's word is the expression of his will. Amen. It's only in your will, we're saying, it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus said, if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God's word is his will. And his will is his word. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Just go to his word. On Saturday, the 13th of September, the day we were preparing to leave, to go back to Tel Aviv, to fly out early the next morning, I just began to write. I wrote some things down. I wrote them on my phone, I think it was. I've got a few of the things here. This was in Perea, Galilee, just overlooking the Sea of Galilee, maybe the same vista that I'm sure at different times that Jesus looked over himself. And God began to speak to me from John chapter 9, verse 9. Where, you know, in John chapter 9, there's the man who's been blind from birth, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus, you know, makes some clay with his spit, and anoints the man's eyes and tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And it says he came back seeing. But in John 9:9 it says the people around him were looking, like, is that a guy that used to be down there begging? Is that a blind boy? It says in verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. I believe there needs to be a change. There's going to be a change. There's coming a change in people's lives that causes people again to ask this same question. Is this the same person? Is this the same person? You begin to share with them things that God's doing in your life, and they begin to look at you like, is this the same guy I went to school with? And we need to be able to answer, I am he. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. John already said that this morning. The old is gone. The new has come. John 18 verse 6. You know when Jesus said, I am he. You know what happened? The people fell backwards. Mm-hmm. When they came to arrest him, they said, wait, we're looking for this guy. He said, I am he. And boom, the people fell over.
I'm going to tell you, when we are born again of the Holy Spirit, we are born in the image of the heavenly man. We're not born, we were born first of all in the image of the man who was made out of the dust. But I want to tell you, when we are born again, we are born again after the image of the heavenly man. There should be such a significant change that it causes the people who knew us previously to fall over, to be bowled over in amazement at what has taken place in our lives. Amen. That's the kind of change, that's the level of change that we can expect in our lives. And what happens then? Our Heavenly Father gets the glory. I want to tell you, if there's anything missing in the church and the lives of God's people in these days, it's that level of change. I believe God's calling His people to rise to that level of maturity that's been made possible for us. I just wrote these things. Let the plumb line of God's word keep us focused and on target. I wrote down the new wine word for 5775, the year of Abba. Wow. A year of renewed awe in the presence of Abba. Wow. A year of great change. And of course, at that time, we were just coming up to the referendum. And I began to receive something from the Lord in the midst of all this and that. And I saw Scotland in the gall of bitterness. And bound by resentment. And I felt the Lord, I wrote this down on that day, 13th of September, 2014, over there in Perea, just above the Sea of Galilee. And I said, it's time to remove from resentment. It's time to move from resentment over all that a Westminster government has not done for us. We need to move from that to a renewed awe of all that our Heavenly Father has done for us. And that releases you out of that place of bitterness. Releases you out of that place of resentment. Because you're not looking to earthly governments anymore. Hallelujah. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, His name shall be called Wonderful. Unto us a son is given. Amen. A child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulders. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You don't have to look to earthly government anymore. At that time we didn't know whether Scotland would vote yes or no. You know what? Didn't matter. Because it wouldn't alter our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Yeah. The one who has done it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, it's a sad fact that in recent years it's sometimes been difficult to distinguish between the church and the world. Between believers and non-believers. It would appear that there's often very little difference in the way that both groups live and experience life. Same things affect both groups, and one doesn't seem to have any better mechanism to cope with it than the other. That's a tragedy. That's not how it's meant to be, and because of that, the witness of the church is seriously negated, and the light that we're designed to be in the world is pretty much extinguished. Someone even came up with the term practical atheist. To describe those who claim to believe in God but then continue to live like He doesn't exist. One pastor put it this way, he said, I'm sick and tired of the fact that people can attend church for 10 to 20 years and never change. He said, we believe in Jesus enough to get us out of hell but not actually enough to change the way we live, and that's a problem in the church. Sadly, a lot of us can concur with his evaluation of things. But back in September, I received a word for 2015, and that word was, this is going to be a year of great change. As I continued to meditate on it, I began to see it referring to a degree of change in believers' lives that would restore that wow factor. As people recognized that such dramatic change could only have resulted through supernatural transformation from the hand of God Himself. And I believe 2015 is going to be a year when our Father is going to be glorified. As Jesus said, the Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, that much fruit appears in your life. I believe much fruit is going to appear in the lives of believers, and that our Father is going to be glorified as a result. And the testimony of the church is once again going to pierce the darkness. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphosized, that word is. It's the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the English word metamorphosis or metamorphosized, by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, be metamorphosized, changed from one type of creation to another type by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who knows, our mind is where our thoughts originate. I've taught this for years, glory to God. Not everybody's been listening. Well, I tell you, we're going to go on over the next few weeks and look at some things and realize that our lives could be a lot different already if we've just taken hold of the Word. Hallelujah. The Word has been spoken, the Word that God's been bringing to us. Because it's the key to everything. But the key to understanding it and the key to receiving it and the key to walking in it is right down there at the very base level of that place of relationship that we were brought into the moment we were born again. Daddy. When you know that God's daddy, when you know that he's your daddy, everything that he says, you can take it. You're going to believe it. One of the hardest things, I think, as a parent is when your children make that transition from accepting everything you say as the truth to doubting and questioning. Amen. Because that thing grows up and then, you know, we've got to make our own way in the world, you know. I'm 55 years old. And I've discovered that a lot of the things that I rejected from what my parents said, really, they did know what they were talking about. And I could have avoided a lot of struggle and a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache and a lot of baggage, as they call it now, if I'd just taken hold of what they said and accepted it, that they did know best, after all. See, our mind is where our thoughts originate. And our thoughts are the root of the fruit that appears in our lives. It begins with how we think. Because our thoughts become our words become our actions become our habits form our character ultimately determines our destiny. Where we end up or how we end up. The Bible's very clear. It says that we will become what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. That's why our Father in Isaiah 55, it's recorded, he invites us to come and exchange our low earthbound thoughts for his high thoughts. What happens as a result of that? Well, we abandon our low ways and we begin to embrace his high ways. God doesn't want, you know, I've heard people say it, and I've failed it myself, and I've even said it myself, but maybe not for a long time, because I don't see it that way anymore. Because my perspective of things has been changed. I've heard people say, I'm not going to let anybody walk all over me anymore. You know, Jesus came, one of the things he said he'd come to do was to set at liberty the oppressed. You know what that means? The downtrodden. Those who feel like they've been walked over. You see, I want to tell you, you might treat me badly. You might say things to me or about me that aren't very nice, but you can't walk over me anymore. Because I'm seated at the right hand of the throne of God with Jesus. And I'm afraid that you can't get any higher than that. So regardless of what you do to me, I don't feel like you're walking over me anymore. Hallelujah. Because I've been set free. Up here. Yeah. So you can still treat me bad. You can still badmouth me. You can still treat me and that. But I don't. It's just water off a duck's back, man. Hallelujah. I've got a shield of faith that catches every fiery dart of the enemy. Hallelujah. I don't live down there anymore. I don't live in the place where you can walk all over me anymore. I live in a place where you can't walk over me anymore, ever again. Hallelujah. Even if you never change your attitude. Hallelujah. And that means I can keep loving you, and I can keep blessing you, and I can keep doing good to you and praying for you, regardless of how you treat me. Because I refuse to come off. I refuse to leave my new place of dwelling. I refuse to leave my new possession.
and allow any negative stuff to affect me in a negative way anymore. Hallelujah. That's a choice I make. I need to make the same choice. That's a good choice. Because it's a choice that is the foundation for great change. Hallelujah. Every day you will encounter challenges, and I will tell you, many of these challenges come to challenge your choice. Are you going to come down and come and get back and engage with people again in that warfare, that childish behavior, or are you going to stay where you are? Hallelujah. First John chapter 4 verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. He's on the throne. So am I. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's where he is, so am I. If he is not anxious, I'm not anxious. If he's not worried, I'm not worried. Why would I be worried when he's not worried? If he's not sick, I'm not sick. If he's not checking his bank account every 5 minutes, why should I? See, if we're going to be like him, we're going to have to think like he thinks, because it starts here. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it tells us how he thinks. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. If these are the thoughts that he thinks about us, then why should we think any differently about ourselves? If he only ever thinks good thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace, never of evil, always to give us a future that's full of hope, why should we think any differently? Who knows, there's not a trace of negativity in these words. And these words are the expression of our Father's thoughts toward us. And that's why we should never, ever, ever be afraid of or disdainful of the power of positive thinking. Someone took that and turned that into something that you'd...
Well, you Christians don't want to mess with that stuff.
One guy said the culture of positivity in the church is what is stopping revival. Jesus turned every negative into a positive. I need to start thinking positive. I need to abandon every negative thought. Because every negative thought will result in a negative word. And that negative word will be the root of that negative action in my life. And if I continue to with these negative actions, they will become negative habits. And negative habits will result in a negative character. A deficit in my character. And ultimately, that my character will determine my destiny. Do I have integrity? Is what I say what I do, or do I say something and do something else? Because just what I say is not enough. My actions follow what I say, because what I say begins with what I think. And it all starts there, folks. And I want to tell you, it's time for us to renew our thinking. Do you know what repentance means? Do you know what it means to repent? I know what it means, Donnie. It means rolling around the floor and sniveling and shouting to God how sorry you are. No, it doesn't mean that at all. You know what the Greek word for repentant means? It means to change your mind. Because if you change your mind, you will change how you live. Because repentance isn't, oh, I'm sorry. Repentance is saying, I've changed. And this is a year of great change, and a year of great change will come but when people just change their minds. I can tell exactly where you're at by what you see. I can tell what you meditate on. I can tell what you think about. I can tell how you spend your days musing by what you see. And I can tell you, Gorobu Shakaba, your life can change in dramatic ways. You can experience great transformation in your life by simply changing how you think.
how you respond and how you react to the situations and the circumstances of life. Simply by getting back to that realization, that revelation that, hey, hang on. My daddy sits on the throne of heaven. He's inviting me to ask him for his will to be done. For his kingdom to come. For his reign, his rule, his authority to be manifested in my situations. For his will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. For all of the good things that people have been looking forward to in heaven to actually come into the earth and manifest in the earth. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, Amplified Bible, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And that's the missing step. Some people are trying to change their lives. Oh God, I'm so bad, I'm so wicked, I'm so awful, I keep falling into the same holes, I keep doing the same things. Ah, help me, help me, help me, help me. Repentance becomes just a get in a spin, fall over, more groveling, back up, do the same thing again. Oh, I made it again, done again. Miss a step. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Then put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, it says. As he is, so are we. Jesus said that to people, you know. I mean, religion rose up then and it still rises up. He says, you're God's. Little G. The Bible says that those who live godly, like God, in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. See, nothing much has changed. Religion still rises up. The church tries to keep you in your place. Come on, you sit in and you shut up. And you're just a miserable, no good, horrible little sinner. And I told you that last week, and I'll tell you this week, and I'm going to tell you the same thing next week. It's your day to come back again. You better come back, otherwise. So what happens? Where do the people run? They run off into New Age spirituality. Because at least someone tells them there they can be like God. The only problem is they tell them they can be a God. The God. The one and only. For the devil's not stupid. So he brings them truth wrapped up in a bigger lie. So who wants to go to church and get messed with when you can go into the New Age movement and at least be charged up with a bit of positivity? It's a delusion, it's a lie, because it's not Jesus has been removed from the equation, and it tells you that you're inherently good and you're not, and that's why Jesus had to come. That's why we need that old removed so that the new can come. Because the old wasn't no good. But the new is. Hallelujah. Put on the new nature. Created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Who knows, it's time to embrace that great change. That great change that results in experiencing our Father's perfect will. Who's had enough of less than perfect? Who's had enough of expecting less than perfect? Oh well, you know, you can't expect. What? Why can't you expect? Why can't you expect what God says we can expect? All the limits are off, folks. What are we going to expect? Are we going to expect perfect? In this 2015, this year of 5775, the year of great change, are we going to expect things just to carry on as they are, or are we going to expect perfect? It's perfect will. We need to repent, change our minds, because changing our minds will result in a change of thoughts and words and actions and habits and character and destiny. And we won't end up sick all the time anymore. All of a sudden we'll be standing strong and healed and whole and proclaiming and declaring it's all down to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And He'll get the glory. Because God's kids don't get sick. God's kids have perfect attendance. Because they choose the perfect. Oh well, I feel like a day off, so I just let that runny nose take over. No, 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 no. First sniffle, you tell that thing to hike. Don't belong here, sniffle. No, oh, wait till it's bronchitis, then I'll try and beat it. No, 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 no. You got to tell that sniffle to go when it's still a sniffle. You need to tell that pain to leave your body when you're not even sure if you felt it or not. That's the point you need to say, no, stop, no way, no further. This goes no further. I'm not giving, I'm not, I'm telling you something I know it works. I want to tell you how God took a hypochondriac called Donnie Stewart and turned him into someone that knows how to tell the devil to take his sickness somewhere else. I'm talking about great change. And it can't be attributed to anybody else but to Him. Hallelujah. And little by little, coming into that place of understanding that He actually means what He says. And that He can be trusted to fulfill His Word. And that all you ever really need is His Word. Because if you'll embrace His Word, His Holy Spirit will come and ensure that His Word comes to pass in your life. And there will be supernatural transformation, and there will be such great change that you go, wow. Every day you have to say, wow. Wow. That's not the response. But wow. God, you did that. Wow. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry, it's saying I've changed. Time has gone, eh? Not quite done yet, but. We're going to go on over the next while, and again, God just brought me back to this man in John chapter 9, because I believe this guy who'd been blind from birth. You know, we were born blind, you know that? That's why Jesus said the first thing, one of the first things He was anointed to do was to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Every one of us was born blind to the reality of the relationship that our Heavenly Father wanted to have with us. And some of us, we got born again, and then religion continued to obscure our vision, to dull our vision, to hinder our vision, to limit our vision. But we're getting back to better than 2020. We're getting back to perfect. Because it's time for the vision to be restored. I believe it's important that when Jesus said, that the Bible tells us that when Jesus sent that man to wash in the pool of Siloam, He was telling him to go and wash in, it says, which is translated sent. Why does it tell us that? Because sent is to do with commission. Amen? It relates to commission. I want to tell you, when you respond to the commission that He has given us, you will come back seeing. Just like that man did. You'll come back. Just like remember Jesus sent out the 12 and then the 70. They came back and they said, wow, it's amazing, Jesus. You never guess what? Even the devils are subject to us in your name. Wow. He said, look, guys, why are you so excited about that? Don't let that obscure the bigger picture. The reason all of these things are true, the reason the devils are subject to you in my name is because your names are written in heaven. Because you have been restored to relationship with your Heavenly Daddy. That's what gives you authority. You can expect the devils to be subject to you. You can expect sickness to bow down before you. You can expect blind eyes to open before you. You can expect deaf ears to be unstopped. You can expect all of these things. Why? Not because you've got some super duper anointing. No, it's because your names are written in heaven. Yeah.
he comes back and he's virtually unrecognizable to the people he was grew up with. We better stop there. I got a lot more to say, but hallelujah. Is that making sense? You excited about this year?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So excited you might even try smiling down again about it. Hallelujah. You know, there's something about that. Wow. Let's stand up. Hallelujah.
Thoughts define me. You're